Hey, hello, Brian. Welcome back to another episode of Match Made in Manhattan with Katie, Colby, and Adam. Except, surprise, surprise, today is a Adam solo episode of Match Made, which is kind of the first time we've ever done a solo episode of the pod. But Katie's on Mission Impossible, driving up from South Carolina to Maryland from her sister's graduation, and Colby is out flying to Boston. And Adam is four rich dads deep, a little tipsy, and ready to record a career episode of the pod. Also, you guys would literally laugh so hard if you saw my podcast setup for this episode, because I literally was like, well, first of all, let's just backtrack. All of our equipment is at Katie's apartment, like all of our microphones, the little like Zoom thing that we actually record the podcast on that actually tracks all of our audio, like legitimately every single piece of equipment that we've ever used for the podcast is currently living in Katie's apartment. So needless to say, I am working off of a little bit of a less than ideal setup at the moment. Katie and Colby would literally die if they saw me recording this podcast, because I'm straight up in my work headset. I look like I'm working a call desk and I'm recording on voice memos on my phone. Like, Katie would actually throw up if she saw how I was recording this podcast with how much of a perfectionist she is. We're hoping for the best. We're doing what we can. I'm a little bit, you know, a little tipsy, so hopefully it'll be a little bit entertaining for you guys. So what do we have for today? For today, I kind of laid it out on the Instagram. If you guys don't follow the Instagram already, you definitely need to follow at Matchmade Podcast on Instagram. So I asked a poll. I thought today would be kind of a good time to talk about career stuff. So one of our most requested episodes, I would say, is about a lot of job things, like what we do for a living and how we got our jobs and just career advice in general. So I feel like it'd be a good episode to talk about that when it's not the three of us just rapping about dating the entire time. So we'll do that. We'll talk a little bit about career stuff. I'll answer some of the questions that you guys have sent in to the messages on Instagram. And then we'll go into the normal advice segment. So I'll answer a couple of advice segments that got bumped up to the top. So it'll be fun. So hopefully this will be a fun episode. I miss Katie and Colby so much. I wish they were here. I can't wait until they're back and we can record together and be BFFs again, since they clearly hate me and are leaving me for forever. But that is where we're at, and that's what we're going to deal with. Okay, so first and foremost, let's give a little bit of a dating update for Adam, so we can just do a solo dating update. Usually I feel like it's me and Katie doing a dating update, and then Colby just laughing at us on the side, because Colby would rather die than foreclose details about her intimate dating life. So luckily for you guys, Adam is like three or four tequilas deep, so I'm willing to share any and all details about my train wreck that is a dating life. So let's start with that, and then we'll go into career stuff. So let's see what my dating update even is. So I think the last time I updated the podcast on my dating life, so I think when Katie and I recorded an episode, I think, and I was like, oh, I might be seeing this guy that I went on a date with at a birthday party on Friday. So kind of like a weekend recap type start to the episode. So last Friday, I had a few birthday parties going on. Katie was out of town. Colby was out of town. So I was kind of riding solo a little bit, but it was one of our best friend Mia's birthday parties that night. And so pre-Mia's birthday party, I had another one of Katie and I's friends' birthday parties as well. I obviously wish Katie and Colby were there, like my sidekicks, but it was definitely so much fun. I really liked hanging out with all of them. And then the birthday party was also a ton of fun. The thing that sucked ass, though, is that it was legitimately torrentially downpouring. And I'm a huge princess when it comes to anything having to do with the weather being bad. Like, if it's raining outside, I'm like, I'm not going outside. Katie's also kind of the same way. Like, if it's raining, Katie will be like, oh my God, like, I cannot leave the house. Like, it's raining. Like, in a like depressive manic episode the entire day is like basically my life when it's raining. Regardless, when duty calls, you gotta go. so much fun and an insane birthday party. It was like ice luges and sculptures. It was a DJ. It was like open bar while we were there. The birthday girl had all these drinks preset. Like it was a spectacular birthday. And the theme of it was glitz and glam. So everybody was kind of like dressed up. Like there were guys in tuxes. There were girls in sparkly dresses. I was like, I am severely underdressed. Meanwhile, I'm literally like, you guys should have seen me getting ready for this pregame slash birthday party because I was crazy. Because also, so Mia's birthday party, like the guy who, so Mia threw her birthday party at this place called The Palace. And it's this like bar slash clubby esque vibe in Tribeca slash like Canal Street Soho area that basically it's like more of like an upscale type vibe, I guess, is what they're shooting for. But it's realistically just like a fucking hole in the wall, like a random ass bar. But anyway, so the owner of the bar or the palace who was texting Mia being like, okay, look, like Mia, make sure all the guys come in like blazers and make sure they're all dressed up, yada, 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 yada. I'm like, bro, nobody's gonna wear a blazer to your bar slash club. Like, you're not Tao, you're not like, I don't even remember what the other one is. It's like Tao, Marquis, like Wano. Like, you're not any of those. Like, you're this random ass new club that's on Canal Street. And I can't bash it because I actually really love it. So if the owner of the Palace happens to be listening to this, like, I actually love your club slash bar. Like, I have the best time every time I'm there. But do I feel like I need to be in a blazer when I'm attending? The answer is no. I mean, first of all, like every guy who goes there is in like a t-shirt and jeans. So I'm a little bit curious as to why he was so uptight texting Mia being like, make sure every guy that comes is in a blazer. So your boy had to dress up a little bit. So I changed my outfit 400 times. I had like 60,000 things laid across my bed, only to end up in the same thing that I wear every single time I go out to begin with. Like literally black shirt, black overcoat, and black jeans, and white sneakers. I wear that every single time I go out without fail, and it took me 45 minutes to get ready. So, went to the first birthday party. It was a lot of fun. I saw the guy that I had gone on a date with a few weeks ago. So, it was kind of like an interesting situation because it was literally all of his best friends were at that birthday party. Like, the birthday girl was literally his best friend. And so, I was kind of like, spending time with him and catching up with him and whatever. But when it's in a situation where it's kind of like all of his best friends, like I know he would rather hang out with all of his friends than hang out with this guy who he had met one time on a first date. So I was kind of trying to be cognizant of that situation. Like if it was me and I was with all of my closest friends, like would I necessarily have wanted to be hanging around some guy that I've been on one date with? Like probably not. So we hung out, we talked, I gave him a hug and I was like, okay. Like have a good rest of your night. Like you have fun with your friends. Like I'm sure I'll catch up with you later. So hugged him goodbye after we caught up, and then I was off. So then I went to Mia's birthday party. Had the best night ever. It was literally so much fun. All around good night. I have another funny situation is if you guys have been long time listeners, bleh, I can't speak. Long time listeners of the pod. One of the first stories that I ever shared on the pod is when I went on a date with this guy who I had six martinis on the date with, completely blacked out. The only thing I remember is making out with him at the dinner table of a really nice restaurant in front of the waiter, like a complete sicko, like literally straddled on, just picture me straddled on top of the table making out with this guy. And that is the scene that we're setting, okay? At a really nice restaurant in front of the waiter, making out with him. The next thing I remember is me blacking back into reality at my friend's apartment and being like, literally, how did I get here? And then I was out at a like gay club until 5 a.m., which is also a very un-Adam thing to do. Like that night in general was very just un-Adam, Like blacking out at six martinis on a date, so embarrassing, making out with this guy at a dinner table, and then somehow ending up in a gay club until 6 a.m. Needless to say, I have no idea how I ended up away from the guy I was on a date with, how it ended, because I never heard from him again. Okay. Until last week, well, okay, backtrack. He had started reaching out to me a few weeks ago, and then recently he like finally DM'd me, like something super flirty, and I was like, oh my God, like you still love me, even though I blacked out on six martinis and was a complete nutcase and straddled a table to make out with you, basically. I was like, you're still into this. Okay. So I ended up replying back to him, and we've been kind of talking a little bit. So maybe that's going to end up being something. I'm not really sure, but it's just a lot. It's a lot, a lot, a lot. It's so funny because tonight I ran into my friend Shay and her boyfriend Jake at, like, I was getting drinks with coworkers, and they walked by, and I was like, "Shay, Jake, whatever," blah, blah, blah. Went up to them, and then I ended up getting drinks with them and some of Shay's home friends that I'm close with. And Shay was like, "Wait, Adam, do you remember, like, because I was there when Jake asked Shay to be his girlfriend?" And at the time, I was like hammered at the dinner table, and I thought that Jake was asking me to be his boyfriend. So I was like, no, Shay, like, it's not you. Like, he's asking me." Jake was asking her to be his girlfriend, and I was like, "Oh my God, Jake's literally like asking me to be his boyfriend. Like, this is the best day of my life. I'm so excited." But anyway, needless to say, he wasn't asking me to be his boyfriend. He was asking Shay to be his girlfriend. But it's okay because we're kind of like a three-way couple anyways now. Shay moved across the street for me. Jake's always there. So we're basically like a nice little like three-way couple. It's beautiful. Throuple, as you would call it. Okay, so we're gonna go into the career chat. So this person is asking, "I switched jobs recently and debated what I should, or, and I'm debating what I, sorry, I can't read, I'm so drunk. Switched jobs recently and debating what I should do with my previous 401k monies. Should I cash out into savings, roll over, or invest? If so, recommend where?" Okay, so let me tell you exactly what you need to do with this. All of your options are wrong other than roll over. You should not cash out into savings because you're going to have a huge tax burden on pulling that money out of your 401k. What you need to do is you need to call the company that your current employer's 401k is holding and ask them to start a rollover for you. You should probably look to roll it over because sometimes the plan of your previous company after you leave the company might have some fees that they're now charging on your portfolio. Sometimes when you leave a company, the old 401k provider will charge fees on your 401k portfolio if you don't roll it over into the new account. So whatever you do, don't pull it out into savings, don't pull it out to invest it somewhere else. Just roll it over and wait to pull out that money until you retire, because then you're going to pay a way lesser tax burden on that 401k money. And if an accountant is listening to this and I'm being an idiot, then I'm very sorry, but this is my understanding of it. So take it or leave it. Advice for asking for a pay raise. I think that this is a really prevalent question in the DMs, is advice for asking for a pay raise or a promotion. I'm going to take it from both angles, so pay raise and promotion. So my advice for asking for something where you would have some kind of increase in your compensation, you're going up on a level, is figure out what the KPIs are for yourself. And when I'm saying a KPI, I'm saying a key performance indicator. So what you should do if you're asking for a raise or a promotion, and also I'm so sorry if I'm not making any sense right now, like I'm actually, like, I know I've said this a billion times this podcast. I'm four tequilas deep. Like, I'm trying my best at this point. If you come to your boss and you say, "I have generated this amount of money for the company," or, "I have saved the company this amount of money through things that I've worked on," lay out exactly what you've done that's above and beyond your current job description and your current roles. And there is no way that your boss cannot say, like, this is. Like, yes, okay, this justifies a pay raise, or yes, okay, this justifies a like advancement in your career. And if they don't, this is what you say. You say, "What are the key performance indicators that you're looking at for me that would lead me to being able to get a raise or a promotion or get my compensation to this level or get my title to be this level?" Like, you really need to have that conversation with your boss so that you understand what metrics they're expecting you to hit before you can reach that next level. That's my best advice for asking for a pay raise or like a promotion, is just to figure out what that punch list is for you to achieve and then just do it and overachieve. And then you have like all the leverage in the world. Oh my God, I'm gonna burp. Hopefully I don't throw up. No, I'm not going to. There's a lot going on in my stomach right now. Holy shit, I have like an Aperol spritz, a tequila, like it's like a party in my tummy right now. Okay, so a lot of people are asking, how do I switch career industries? I think that in terms of switching industries and where to start, what I would do is I would stalk people on LinkedIn and figure out what are people that have jobs or have careers that look interesting to you. And I think to even backtrack a little bit, like, you don't have to have it figured out. You know, like, you don't need to know exactly what you want to do or like what you want to be when you grow up, basically. I literally still say that. I'm like, I don't know what I want to be when I grow up. Like I'm 25. Like I still don't know what the rest of my life looks like, Like I'm only a quarter of the way through my life, assuming I make it to 100, which I definitely am, mark my words. Actually, knock on wood, because I don't want to like die tomorrow because I said that. Oh God, please God, don't do anything bad to me. Anyways, if like you really like find somebody that you're super interested in the path that they've taken, or you're super interested in the job that they have, then reach out. Literally just message them on LinkedIn. Ask to connect. Make the message be like, hey, I found you on LinkedIn. I'm super interested in what you do. I'm really interested in talking to you about it. Do you have 5 minutes to just give me an overview of what you do? Because I'm really interested in learning more about it. What is the worst thing that they're going to say? The worst thing that they're going to say is no. So I would just say find somebody you're inspired by, find somebody where you like or think you might be interested in what they're doing. Reach out to them, see if you can get them on a phone call. If you're in the same city, try to incentivize them. Be like, hey, I would love to take you to coffee and like hear a little bit more about what you do. Worst thing they're going to say, like I said, a billion times, they're going to say no, or they're not going to respond. Let's say you reach out to 50 people and two respond. That's two people that could potentially even maybe like, let's say they like you or they vibe with you. Those are people that are then going to be like, hey, like I'll refer you to my company if you're interested in working here. Like I can refer you to this role. Most companies give a referral bonus. So it's honestly in that person's favor to be referring you to their company if they like you or vibe with you. So you have nothing to lose. At that point, if you're trying to switch industries or do something new, like you need to learn about what that industry is like. Like you could think something is amazing, but okay, for example, when I was in college, I thought I desperately wanted to work on Wall Street or be an investment banker. And then I started talking to people about what they were doing all day, and they're like, yeah, I work 24 hours a day and I move things in PowerPoint. I'm like, what do you mean you move things in PowerPoint? They're like, yeah, I move a table from 0.2 inches from left to right. I'm like, that's what you do all day? Like, that sounds like my worst nightmare. Like, you make a lot of money, but like, that sounds horrible for 24 hours a day. Like, I need to have a social life. Like, how am I going to go to Equinox and like harass the Equinox social media manager? Like, when would I have time to do that when I'm moving shit around in PowerPoint all day? Like, I wouldn't, So you need to learn about other industries. You need to learn about what you might like. And I think that's the best advice I can give. How do you feel confident interviewing for jobs you might be underqualified for? A way that I would look at it is every company is going to put out in their application some completely unrealistic expectation of what they're looking for. It's kind of the same. Honestly, let me just link it to dating because I actually think that might be kind of like a good juxtaposition for that. I've also said juxtaposition so many times in this episode. Don't even know if I'm using it correctly. I think I have a brief understanding of what it means. Not positive, but I'm trying my best. Let me give a dating juxtaposition. Juxtaposition for this one. How do you feel confident in interviewing? Think about in a dating situation. In a dating situation, you're putting out there in your head what you're really looking for. You're looking for a 5'11 plus, 6 foot preferably, very wealthy man who's your age, who's going to treat you well, who is nice to you, not a fuckboy, but kind of a fuckboy, if you know what I'm saying, wink, wink, who loves you, has great friends, loves his family, would love your family. Okay, I'm just listing my preferences at this point, but like I don't really have preferences, as you guys know. Like I'm kind of all over the board. Anyways, back to my point. You're listing all these things that you're interested in, but you're willing to compromise, right? Like if you find a guy who, if your priority is like a 5'11 guy who's like really ripped and has money, like maybe you're willing to compromise the money if you like that he's 5'11 and ripped, So link that to what the anxiety or the insecurity you're feeling about interviewing for a job that you don't think you're qualified for. Every recruiter obviously is going to put out there that they're looking for somebody with a billion plus years of experience who's well versed in SQL and coding and all kinds of bullshit. Like the reality is that they're not going to find a perfect candidate at the end of the day, But maybe you don't have the 10 plus years of experience, but you're fluent in Chinese and you're fluent in SQL and you can write code like nobody's business. Like they're going to give you an interview, okay? And if they give you an interview in the first place, that means that they see potential in you. You need to go into that situation and be like, they gave me this opportunity to interview. They think I'm worthy. I'm going to prove to them that I'm worthy of this role. Look at the situation from a high level and be like, I was given the opportunity to interview with this company. Like they see potential in me. I'm going to show them what I'm made of, and I'm going to show them that I deserve to be here, just like anybody else around here. Like I am just as qualified as any other bitch in this room. All right, here's some personal ones. What's your ultimate goal career-wise slash what is your dream job? I think my ultimate goal career-wise is having enough of a nest egg where I can leave my company for a year, at least a year, and start a business and not be concerned if it fails or not. So at that point, I will have enough experience and enough money where I can go at a business for a year, whether that's investing in real estate or whatever it may be. I can gun at that for a year, and if all else fails and I lose at that, then I'll have enough of a nest egg and experience where I can just jump right back into software sales or like back into business and be fine, and it won't affect anything in my life. Somebody said, Adam, how are you able to leave podcasts and do other things during the workday? So I think in my current job, so I will say this, I like you guys only see like my Instagram, which is obviously like the best parts of my life. Like what you don't see is the fact that I work like 20, like all the time, basically. Like I'm always on. Like the trade-off for me having time to do whatever I want, kind of whenever I want, is that I'm always on for work. And some people don't like that. I'm very much willing to give up that like work-life balance for work-life integration. So if I sell X amount of software this quarter, then I'm a stud. Then I'm killing it in the company, So if I'm doing that, then I kind of have the flexibility to do what I want. Like if I want to go to the gym for 2 hours during like in the middle of the day, like nobody's going to question that because I'm performing. So I'm willing to trade off the work-life balance for work-life integration if it means me being able to kind of do other things in my life and have that balance. That's what you guys don't see on Instagram, but that's kind of the trade-off that I'm willing to make in exchange for a little bit more of a work-life integration. And I love what I do, and I think that's the difference. Like I hated my old job. I love my job that I'm doing now. I love selling software. Not that I love, love, love it, but it pays the bills. I feel like I do well for myself. I have enough money to do things that I like traveling and stacking my wrist with Cartier, like I'm the fucking Sultan of Egypt. Like I have money to do things, and I think that that is what keeps me going and willing to put in the extra hours. We'll do like a couple more because I think I'm definitely coming up a time here, guys. I got a lot of questions about imposter syndrome at work, which is like, I mean, obviously everybody knows what imposter syndrome is, but like my interpretation of that in a work environment is like, I don't think I'm qualified to do the job that I'm doing. I think that this kind of goes back to the answer I gave about interviewing for a job that you don't think you're qualified for. Like clearly somebody who promoted you to that role like knows you have the capacity to do that and knows you are capable of doing that role. So when you have this imposter syndrome, you need to be like you need to say to yourself like you didn't force yourself to be in that role. Like you worked hard for it. You met the KPIs and the metrics that I referenced earlier to get into that role. Okay, you earned it and you deserve it. Tell yourself that, and then on the side of that, tell yourself that somebody who put you in that role believes in you and believes that you are capable of doing that role. They could have hired somebody else internally to take that role. They could have hired somebody else externally to take that role. They hired you, and they hired you for a reason. Oh my God, I feel like such a motivational, like am I okay? Like should I be a motivational speaker? I don't know. Like you guys, you can do it. Okay? Okay, you can do it. Oh my God, I love this question because this is like actually something that's really like it stresses me out too. A lot of my friends have better paying jobs than me. We're 23 and I don't know how long it will take me. I'm not going to take credit for this, but Tinks, like if you guys follow Tinks, always says comparison is a thief of joy. And I think that that is such a good like phrase to look at something like this. Like I'll talk about it from my own experience. So both of my roommates and pretty much every roommate I've had is a software engineer. And software engineers are notorious for making boatloads of money. Like the money that my software engineer friends are making is disgusting. Like when I look at it, I'm like, I am literally an ant compared to you guys. Like I'm poor, basically. So I think when you look at it like that, it's hard because I look at my roommates and my friends who are in that capacity and making that amount of money. And I'm like, what I'm doing is not good enough. I'm like, and I know I talk about therapy a lot on the podcast these days. Like, I love my therapist. Like, my poor therapist is the brunt of all of my complaining and my anxiety and my stresses and whatever. Like, and a lot of the things I complain about is I'm like, I am so type A and I want to be the best and I want to be the big fish in every room. Like that's just like my personality and how I am. And from a financial perspective, like I'm doing well in a software sales role, but there are people who are doing better than me and that annoys me. And my therapist is like, well, like why does that annoy you? Like why is that something that bothers you? And I'm like, I don't know. Like can you like fix me so it's not? It's basically what I tell her. But I think that the way that she kind of phrases it is like, you are doing amazing. Like, look at where you are comparatively to where you are were 2 years ago. Like, everybody's on their own path of life. And let me use another dating juxtaposition, my hot word of the day. Like, in dating, I think I always think, like, okay, I've never been in a full, like, relationship, like an actual relationship. Like, whereas all my friends have, like, been in a relationship, basically, and that stresses me out. But like everybody's on their own life path, right? Like, would I rather have a situation where I'm dating somebody who's not perfect for me, but I'm just dating for the sake of dating? Like, no, 100% no. I would rather be doing something that's perfect for me and be going on my own life path. Same thing for career-wise. Like, when I think about it, like, my roommates are working like day in and day out, like coding all day, right? Like, do I want that life for myself? Like, is that the trade-off that I want for all that money? Like the answer is no. Like I love my life right now, right? Like I think that whenever I talk about it with my therapist, she's like, okay, like what are they doing to make that amount of money? And I'm like, well, they're engineers, they're coding all day. And she was like, Adam, if you go look at a coding boot camp or like you go look at how to code or something like that, does that interest you? And I'm like, well, no, it doesn't. And she's like, okay, so is it worth it for you to then do that in exchange for that compensation? And I say no, but I would like to be making that amount of money. And then she's basically like, okay, what is it going to take for you to make that amount of money? Could you do it with your current role right now? And I'm like, well, yeah, I'm in software sales. Like we get paid pretty well. Like I think if I perform really well and I sell a lot, then I probably can make that amount of money. And she's like, okay, then look at where you are now. You're on your own life path. Figure out what the next steps are for you to make that amount of money and go for it. And I'm like, okay, you know what? You're kind of right. Like, the comparison is a thief of joy, like 100%. Like, I am not trading off certain things that they are trading off for the amount of money that they have, and I'm doing well for myself. So you always need to look at it from the perspective of like, I'm doing this, they're doing that. It's okay if they're making more money than me. What are things that you value? Like, if money is something that is extremely important for you, then maybe you need to think about switching into a career where money is the focus. But you need to also understand the trade-off of that. For me, I'm willing to trade off my time for money. Like I am willing to work all the time if it means that money is going to come to me. But like I also like a balance, which is how I found myself into tech, because I do have, like I told you guys, I have that kind of balance where I can go and not work all the time if I want to. Like everybody's on a different path of life. Figure out what the values are to you. Don't compare yourself to others because everybody's in a different scenario. Like your friends who are making a shit ton of money might be completely miserable in their jobs and they might hate going into work day in and day out. Like, do you like going into work day in and day out? If you like showing up at work every day, like, and that's important to you to actually like what you're doing, then you're also winning. My friends who were bankers, I cannot even explain to you how miserable they were for years. They were getting paid a shit ton of money, like fuck you money, you know? But like, were they happy? Absolutely not. Also, I've literally been talking for so long at this point, so I think I need to end the episode. Like, Katie and Colby are gonna be mortified when they see that I've been recording for 50 minutes. Like, let's see what I can actually edit this down to. But damn, I didn't even get to advice segment because I was too busy rapping about this for so long. Hopefully, this was helpful for you guys. Hopefully, you liked the solo episode. That was probably like a train wreck. I can't even imagine how this is gonna turn out. But I can't wait to be back with Katie and Colby next week. And I don't even know where I'm going with this. I'm just rambling at this point. Talking to yourself for an hour is interesting. This is fun for me. Anyways, okay, I really need to stop this. Okay. Okay, guys, it's been fun. Love ya. See ya. Bye.